Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night! And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
All right, in this episode of CarCast, I'm on the road for lion's share of it. It's an interesting story. Tommy Kendall comes in here along with Justin Bell. And we'll talk about some of the cool stuff we saw at Pebble Beach. And we'll talk about Tom Cruise's car, Risky Business Mobile, and what that went for. First, I'll tell you about Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. That's right. Innovation, man. And they've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers, they study specific driving conditions, so you're ready for anything. I don't care if it's raining actual cats and dogs, Trico is ready for you. Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact, no matter what your driving habits. You'll always find the right wiper blade for your vehicle, and that is why everyone here uses Trico, and the people who know their way around cars, and that's us, swear by Trico. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. That's right, going back over 100 years. To find a store near you and see the latest offers, visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. That is TricoCatsAndDogs.com.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. We got Adam calling in. We're going to do things a little differently today. Adam's going to be calling in CarCast, and then we got some guests we're going to be bringing in as well. So hopefully you got a good connection. Hopefully you're solid.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Good answer.
Has he done this before?
Yeah. Call in. It's not a lot of calling into the show. I don't know that we've done this many times with the call-in portion of it, but we're going to have a great show. We're going to have Tommy Kendall and Justin Bell coming in from the Torque Show. And, you know, guests have been on our show multiple times in the past, so we'll get into a little bit of that stuff as well. But, Adam, what's going on? What's the plan?
Well,
tonight?
Yeah, and I apologize, and not so much to you, Matt, but to Justin Bell and Tommy Kendall.
Right. Got it.
Hopefully I'm there in time to shake their hand.
Well, yeah, I do feel
door.
Adam. It's a beautiful thing. I do feel like it was we're on a date, but like you're not actually here on the date, but you sent me a text.
That's right. He showed up with a FaceTime. Yeah. The waiter FaceTime. Standing there with Adam exactly. on a FaceTime. Going, here's your date.
It's almost as good, but not quite. Yeah, right. It's funny.
This is the COVID version, I guess, yeah. of the show. Well, we're going to get into stuff as we wait for Tommy, but I just wanted to run something by you, Adam. Just a thought on this was the Barrett-Jackson auction, their first event ever in Texas, just happened this past week. A great event. I forgot the numbers, but they pulled in like $37, $36 million. It was a great launch event for Texas. But the standout car, the big money car, was the Porsche 928 from the movie Risky Business that Tom Cruise drove. So they got almost $2 million for what? Like an $8,000 shitty car, basically. Yep. But this caught my attention because, first of all, everyone was blown away by that number. But I don't know if this helps Porsches and 928s, or does this really help like Tom Cruise memorabilia?
I think it helps the guy that sold it.
Yeah, it helps the seller for sure. Helps Craig Jackson for sure. But Adam, yeah.
Well, I mean, first, and I'm going down PCH, so sometimes there can be a rough patch. So if it gets a little rough, I'll clear it in a quarter mile, just to preface it with that. 928s, I always thought were cool. The 928Ss are kind of inching up. Maybe a clean one is, you know, 50, 65 grand for a really nice version of one. This is insane, but I think this is all, and you guys tell me what you think, but I think with inflation and with China, and maybe this is a dumb guy's version of Bitcoin. Like, maybe the people who are a little freaked out about Bitcoin or don't understand it, maybe this is their next move. Put it into a piece of memorabilia, you know, put it into a Banksy painting or something like that. You guys feel like that's the way the wind is blowing?
I mean, you've seen it with McQueen stuff. You've seen it with Newman stuff, right? I mean, you know that better than anyone. You know what Newman gear is going for. But, you know, it's funny. Dad, you
said Senna helmets are pulling money.
I know.
Schumacher helmets are pulling money.
I mean, when Dad, oh, TK's walking in the room.
Oh, TK helmets are probably pulling money these
Tommy
days.
Tommy Kendall helmets. Tommy Kendall hairlocks is going for big money.
Those are even rarer.
Yeah.
TK helmets are rare.
Adam's in the car.
Adam's calling it in.
He's phoning it in.
Adam's
phoning
it in. He's on the car.
Fair enough.
In the car.
The question that actually Matt just
put. Hey, Adam.
Was about that, you know.
Always, like I said to Justin, 1,000 apologies. I hope to get there and shake your hand before you leave. You know, I'm a big fan of both of you. Well, yeah, we were talking about the Tom Cruise 928 risky business car. $2 million?
Yeah.
Really?
It was like 1.98. So, yeah, basically it's $2 million bucks for that car. And we were basically saying, I mean, it's obviously not because it's a 928. Yeah. I mean, a cool enough
car. It's
got to
be 10x the best 928 ever.
Yeah, right? But does this, is this people kind of, I don't know, just afraid of putting their cash in markets and things like that and putting it into something more tangible as an investment? People that invest in art and watches and obviously the car collections of the world. And, you know, like every time you go to the Peterson Museum, when they show their movies and TV cars, it's the most visited exhibits. Oh, yeah. So there's something there for it. But you don't get to $2 million on this car without two or three people bidding on it, right? Obviously, you need at least two that's driving up the price. Is it because it's Tom Cruise memorabilia?
No question. You know, you hit the nail on the head. There's all these dollars chasing rare items, to, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of money sloshing around. But just like, you know there's only X number of Picassos or Giacometti bronzes and so forth. And for car people, they're like, I don't like that. I like the car. And so it's amazing. If there's one person, the thing would have sold for $115,000. Yeah. If there's two, it goes for $1.9 million.
But you just must look at it, Matt. Can you imagine sitting there the next day staring at a lovely 928, which is a very nice shape, like a kind of egg, with a little spoon sticking out the front. I mean, Dad had one. He had one of four.
With hidden headlights that aren't hidden.
When Dad was racing for Porsche, they gave him and Stuck and Ix and Mass, I think, they all had a white 928S with no markings at all, a blueprinted engine, special suspension. And Dad, it was super freaking quick. And Dad sold that like 5 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago. And I think he rused that this morning. But, you know, I mean, even his, as who he is, and there was only four of those, that by that ratio, what's that worth? You know, he's not Tom Cruise, and it wasn't risky business. It has to be $500,000, right?
I think he got 60 grand
for it. You know,
it's got to be something. Like, we bring it up because Adam and I talk all the time about, you know, like, we will go into some of these collector car auctions, the RMs and the Goodings, and we'll see pretty good money for a Senna helmet, you know, a Schumacher helmet. McQueen stuff goes crazy. But a lot of times when entertainment crosses over to the motorsports world, the car world, it doesn't really resonate. You know, an Elton John Cadillac, you know, at RM in Europe gets 3% more money than the normal Cadillac would be. Like, it's not like a huge amount, but this one really kind of stood out. And as somebody, Adam, who owns a Tom Cruise racing helmet and a Tom Cruise driving suit from his days with racing with Paul Newman, and now the car, the 240 SX Tom Cruise racing car, I woke up, saw the news on the 928. I was like, this is the best day ever for you, Adam.
Well, I agree, although I will come down to earth by explaining what I just went through and why I'm not there in person momentarily. But I do, Matt, you're totally right. You know, they sell Paul McCartney's Ferrari, and it doesn't get a penny more than those, than a car that was owned by Joe Blow, or for Justin, I think Joe Blocks. I had an English girlfriend once who told me the Joe, John Doe in England was called Joe Blocks.
Oh, she must have been really trying to get rid of you. Yeah.
But I don't, is this Tom Cruise or is this the movie? Because I think this is movie memorabilia, which is going insane right now, and less the Tom Cruise car and more the movie car.
I think it's kind of a confluence because you've got, you know, Porsches are going nuts right now.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the movie's the biggest part of it. Ferris Bueller Ferrari, that was a replica, and it sold, you know, it would sell for a lot of money. So, you know, it's one of these things. Paul McCartney had a Ferrari, but he wasn't known for having a Ferrari. No one knew it except
that's
you run the thing. So it's weird. I mean, that's the fun, I guess, of all this, whether it's that or just, you know, when you're looking at Bring a Trailer, you know, it's trying to figure out, is this the top? Have I figured something out that no one else has? And then most people don't act on it, and then they get confirmation 6 months later, and they're like, I knew it! But you didn't know it.
Yeah,
you didn't do
so
it.
You're right. So Paul McCartney could own a Ferrari. Nobody really knows. Or they just assume he's got 30 of them over his lifetime. So having one of the McCartney Ferraris probably doesn't do much. So it's maybe you're right, Adam. It's more the movie. But talk about an iconic car and Ferraris. What do you think something like Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55 video, because he still owns that car and he would never get rid of it, but that car
80s stuff is coming. I mean, look what's happening with Countaches.
I mean, that's where the car was the star of that video of his biggest song arguably ever, right? So something like that would be a massive amount.
I mean, I guess it all gets down to personal taste as well and who you're into, because I mean, I'd like that car, but I don't know if I'd whip out my wallet for millions for it, because there's other cars they would. I mean, if you want to play a little game here, what movie car or entertainment car, famous car, would you go for? Because all of us must have different things. I mean, obviously the Bullitt Mustang, when you look at that, you go, that must be pretty priceless, but it wasn't priceless.
No, it had a price at
it
some
had a
point.
Price.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think the price was as good as they thought.
No,
it was
I think it was
a little under $4 million.
Yeah.
For some reason, for that Bullitt car. That car's also a hunk of shit when you see it in real life.
<That's true. laughs> No, it's called patina, Adam. It's patina. No, it's
not when it comes new that way. So anyway, it was just a thought that I wanted to get into before while we had you on the phone.
Oh, 968s. Let's bring that up.
Yeah,
not even famous 968s. Apparently, there weren't many 968 S's, I guess it is.
Yeah.
And I heard 800 grand? 700-800 grand?
No.
Yep. For one of the rare edition ones that they did, and
it must be pretty rare because 968s are pulling $14,500 on Bring a Trailer.
There were four race cars ever built, one of which I raced. And you know, I think it's a question in the Porsche world. I've said it in every car, every mark, the guns sort of retarget, right? Do you remember 15 years ago, if you said you were going to buy a 912, people would have been like, why do you want to buy one of those? I mean, literally,
the other
I was
ones
told,
no one wants.
Why I was told, don't buy one of those by a Porsche guy. Now, I mean, so the guns sort of, the collector guns target, don't they, to the next concentric circle outwards.
I think we just cracked the code. The reason the 968's, that S, is because you drove one.
Oh,
it's like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I say,
okay, I'm gonna sell the underwear I was wearing that day.
Well, we got to take it to the right auction, right?
Yeah.
Like,
now, before we go any further, you guys were started. I got an email that this time had changed. Should I feel like there's a conspiracy that they
we
said
were
not going to tell him why? We're going to tell him it's later, and then we're going to start early.
Do you know why? Because they knew you'd be late. So actually,
they should be the other way around. They shouldn't have changed it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Here's a 1993 9.6 Turbo S.
$792,000. Boom. Thank you very much.
$800,000 for that thing. But okay, but that's not a racing car. It's not a race car. That's okay. Just.
All right.
Well.
See, I have.
I've driven one. It's not $800,000 for the car.
I have the rarest Mustang ever, and it's just gotten back to what I paid for it in 1995.
That's right.
The Cobra R.
You have a 95.
There were 95 Cobra R, and it's rarer. It's probably rarer than that car.
Yeah.
And
the 93 Cobra R's are pulling some coin.
Yeah. How is it that I got the only one that is super rare and no one cares?
You got to wait it out. Just wait it out. 30 more years, TK.
You've actually got to let Adam drive it. Oh. That's it on its way to it. And then it'll be really worth like 10 or 12% more.
Well, Adam, you could drive it and call in to the show, and then that way it's verified.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, can I tell you guys, well, a couple things. First, Tommy, I'm going to repose this question to you. In a topsy-turvy world with China and Joe Biden and inflation, do you think cars are becoming the sort of blue-collar Bitcoin, like guys that are scared to go in on Bitcoin are putting them into cars and memorabilia and that kind of stuff?
Without a doubt. I mean, what's happened with Porsches and certain, you know, it is weird, as we've just talked about, but there's no question that it's an asset class now. You see these prices that are going crazy, and you know,
and it's way more fun than Bitcoin.
And yeah,
I mean, NFT, you don't even get anything.
Yeah. or even art, for that matter. I mean, art's fun to look at, but this is stuff that you can, you know, you can work on, you can drive, you can rub on it, you can share it, you can, you know, it's pretty cool.
And when it goes down by 20% in 3 days, you can still drive it, right?
Actually, it won't go down as fast.
No, it won't. No,
it's not as liquid a market.
Let's talk about Good Guys. It's the Good Guys Rod and Custom Association, and it's coming to Del Mar, California for the 20th Meguiar's Del Mar Nationals at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, October 1st through the 3rd. There's over 2,500 classic cars and trucks on display with an autocross, a burnout competition, and vintage dragster exhibition. There's a huge swap meet with hundreds of cars for sale, and bring the whole family. There's live entertainment, there's a model and pedal car display, and a free kids zone. If you haven't been to the Del Mar show, it is massive. You definitely want to check it out. It's such a great location, too. You know, tickets go on sale now at goodguys.com. It's good-guys.com. Kids 6 and under are free. But if you use promo code CARCAST, you'll get $5 off your ticket. Goodguys.com, promo code CARCAST. Hey guys, let me tell you about Geico real quick. Whether you own your home or rent your home, either way, it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Let's talk about the Torque show as well. Les, Adam, you've got other things on your mind?
No, but I just feel like I should share this quick story to why I'm not there. But I'm doing some work in a condo in Malibu. It involves a staircase and fabricating a steel platform and blah, blah, blah. But I did all the work. We did all the work, a lot of the work on Monday, and then I came back today. And, of course, they took all the tools back to the shop and left all the tools back at the shop. So I had to loosen up these nuts that were tightened down with a torque wrench that were in not an impact wrench, not a torque wrench. And they're up like in the ceiling and there was no space to get your arm. And all I had was a set of old school pliers. And I had to just blindly reach up. But you can imagine how many times I cursed
Oh,
the
yeah.
guys who took the socket back to the shop and left it there.
Did you get them all off, or are there some round now?
I got them loose, and that's all I needed to do. And yes, in the process, did round over a few. Like, when is the last time you really won at a nut with a pair of old school pliers?
No, that's when you. I actually discovered, Adam, it was funny. My son and I were doing something at home back at Easter, and I looked. I said, "Mulberry grips. That's what I need. Where's the mulberry grips?" And I looked in the bottom of my old tool case, and I had an old fashioned pair of those. I think I'd got from my grandfather. Those are freaking genius.
What is that?
It's the clip where
the vice grips.
And then it has the tensioner on the bottom.
Yeah.
And once it comes on, it's not letting go, right?
Yeah.
And that was the answer to all your prayers, really. That little, what do you call them here then?
Vice grips.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty dull
name. Well, they're also locking pliers, because vice grip is like Q-tip.
Okay.
Yeah. Brand, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, mulberry grits, once you've gone there, there's no coming off.
Right.
Yeah.
Adam, here's the question for you. So when they go back to reinstall the platform, what are the chances the guys you're working with that I know reinstall the same bolts that you mangled and removed as opposed to go get new ones?
Well, there's no chance, because I just had to loosen it up. And so we could flex it. I'll spare you all the details. It's just, you had to picture the look on my face when I said, give me the deep socket and the ratchet. I'm going to loosen these things up. And everyone just looked at me and said, there's no tools here. We took them all back.
Now, is this a personal project, or are you filming this?
No, Adam's working on some of my guy's house. It's a side gig.
Side hustle?
Yeah. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is funny. I did have this weird fantasy, because they're building, they're framing a house down the street from my house, and I heard them this morning framing away on it, and I had this thought this morning, which is, if I walked onto that job site, I think I'd be good for like $23 an hour framing.
Yeah.
I could do that.
If you bought some tools of your own.
If you had some tools.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's been some technology improvements in the tool deal. I watched them build the platform for Pebble Beach with the decking nails that are in a string. It's like a gun, and they just go bzz, 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 bzz. It's almost like a nail gun, but with screws. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Adam and I were digging into some of the prefab stuff a while ago, and Goldberg, who I do the show with as well, this morning we were chatting, and he's building a 20,000 square foot garage gym facility on his property in Texas. And the biggest task is the foundation, because he's in the middle of nowhere on 200 acres. They have to bring in all the power and the water and the well and all that stuff. That's the year long task, because it's all rock. And every time you have to dig a trench. But he's like, I can't wait, because when this garage comes in, the whole thing goes up in 3 months.
Whoa.
It's prefab. It's built like it's been designed and planned, and everything fits together the way it's supposed to be. There's no like holes in the wall for conduit, and it was a mistake, so they drill another hole 6 inches below it so they can get the, an outlet at the right height. Like, none of that's happening, right? I mean, this super garage is just going to go up in 3 months with a 2,200 square foot loft with a gym in it.
I want to get a ruling from economist Adam Carolla. So if everything's cheaper and more efficient, why is everything more expensive?
Yeah, right. Everything's more expensive.
Yeah. The screws, Tommy, you're talking about are called collated screws, the ones that come on the bandolero belt, by the way.
That's collated. Collated. Okay, good to know.
Well,
I
was thinking about I thought I needed to go to IKEA, and I knew it was next door to get something for my daughter. So I went into IKEA to find this chest of drawers just, around the corner here. And
everything's not available. Not available. I was
not
in
available
IKEA
right now. I'm looking around going, what is going on? Well, it's all on container ships. Friend of ours that's in, Sean Lee.
Yeah.
Sean, he's in the shipping business, freight business. He said there's 50 ships outside Long Beach right now. They can process 13 a week, and there's 20 arriving a month or whatever. It's like there's no way to
They're
to
sitting
bring it
out
in
there in the water. You're gonna have to swim out there to get your IKEA desk.
No,
couple cars missed Pebble Beach because of shipping issues like that.
But it was even worse. Yep. The guy, can you imagine this, Adam? He's one of the top guys from like Hong Kong. It wasn't Chip Connor, but you know, one of the top guys from Hong Kong. His car's been on the water for 6 weeks, and no one can tell him where it is.
I'd be swimming out there. It's cheaper to get a boat out there and figure it out yourself.
So he went to the auction on Friday night, dropped down $3 or $4 million, bought something else, and got a late entry into the concourse. Pebble were like, you know,
he bought a Bugatti Grand Prix car so that he could have something on the lawn. And they're like, we don't do this. He said, well, extraordinary circumstances. I bought this car last night because I want something on the field.
Yeah. So in Monterey, his car didn't show up. So he went to the auction, bought a $3 million Bugatti, drove it over to the lawn and said, enter.
Just because he doesn't want, you know, he wants to, he, you know, he,
he's there.
His goal was to be on the lawn, and he made it happen.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of on the lawn, Justin, Tommy, you guys walked the lawn, I'm assuming, as Matt and I did. Did you see that Cobra, the extended wheelbase Cobra race car that was built by Ken Miles and
it was Peter Kloot brought it out.
Peter Kloot
brought it from Legendary Motor Cars, and it's the one-off, like, hand-built Ken Miles Cobra, and it's like an extended wheelbase Cobra.
No,
that was an unjudged car, right? That was in the unjudged. I don't think it was judged.
Possibly was it?
How much longer was it?
I don't remember. What was the specs on that?
I think the story was it was built on a Daytona, a Cobra Daytona platform, and it also had like a 390 or something.
Oh, it's aluminum
in it. An aluminum engine. It's beautiful. It's like the best looking, coolest Cobra you've ever seen.
Whoa!
Yeah, go ahead.
It's sort of, I would say when you see a Cobra in street trim and then you see a Cobra in race trim, it looks cooler in race trim. It's the same difference between a race trim Cobra and this Cobra. Like, this Cobra takes it to the next level.
Wow.
No, actually, I didn't. I mean, there was a lot of people out. We, you know, our show went, our live stream went live at about noon, so... You know, I had a pretty good walk around, but...
Same.
You know, we had to kind of do some focusing on some of the cars we were going to talk about. I got stuck at the 917s.
The sea of 917s. And the other car that stood out was the ATS 2500 GT. Whoa. If you guys have seen this car before. Yeah. Very, very cool car. And we were talking about it on the way to Monterey quite a bit. And we're like, why doesn't anybody have one of these? We never see it. And then we walk out on the lawn and there's one there. Adam's mind popped a gasket. Let me tell you something about this this Cobra. It was a Ken Miles pet project. He used every trick in the book. He got it down to 1,600 pounds with a 500 horsepower, all aluminum Ford 390. It had 58 millimeter Webers on it. The chassis was stretched 3 inches and lightened. The backbone, it says backbone style substructure, was the same as the Daytona coupes. And a super lightweight one-off body was made. The car had Heim Joint A-arms. It had GT40 brakes. A lot of parts bin stuff that they had. And they were able to put this thing together. And just, it was arguably the fastest, lightest, most powerful, probably the most beautiful Cobra that they made. And we lost Adam.
Yeah, he's in the dip on the PCH.
Yes.
That is what's so cool about this, you know, this, you know, hobby.
Yeah.
The stuff that...
I'll show you guys.
I mean, how many are lost forever that no one even remembers? And you stump, like, look at that. Wow.
You're right, TK. There's... Remember, that was an era when people just did shit to cars.
Yeah.
Right?
Now we go, oh, look at that. But there was no one was standing there going, don't cut out that fender with those big metal cutters. They were like, well, I want to. I need to put bigger tires on it. You know?
Yeah.
And you just did it.
You go into any really good you know, custom shop, hot rod shop. You know, the guy is always working on his car, right? Mm-hmm. You could go over to Bodie Stroud's shop for the longest time, and he's building cars for Adam and Tim Allen and all these cool cars. And then, you know, in his head, he's like, oh, I want a 56 Ford pickup truck. And he ends up making a chassis and doing a whole thing. And it's that. And that's a cool car. But it's that by Ken Miles and the guys there. So their little shop side project ended up being this stretched wide body Cobra. Jeez. Worth who knows what.
Well, the other thing you have, it's a little different now with the monocoque cars that are carbon that you can't really modify. But, you know, for the longest time, a three-year-old race car is not worth anything.
Yeah.
Everyone's on to the next thing. And so some of them get cut apart. Some of them get towed into the yard, you know. And so some of them, you know, the ones that didn't get modified, didn't get ruined, and just get preserved somehow and then rediscovered. But that is, I mean, that is
it's cool. We don't have a picture of the back, but you know, the back has the flip gas cap, mm-hmm. and it's actually recessed. Instead of sitting on top of the mm-hmm. trunk, it's in a hole a few inches. There it is. There's the back. See it?
Yeah,
and it kind of shows you incredible. The scale now of how it works. So, did we get Adam back? Is that what
I can hear a hum.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
Hey, Adam, have you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, have you been to the Shelby Museum in Denver?
Yes.
Jeez.
Three times.
I tell you, I did a show with Haggerty last year, and I was just driving out there. And we went out to one of the stops was the museum. And my jaw could have hit the floor. I mean, I had no clue that existed. I had no clue that those cars, you know, some of those cars even existed.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up was that Ken Miles, did they show you the door and everything?
Yeah.
Ken Miles' door from his accident, you know, that killed him. And it was kind of chilling because they have the dashboard. And, of course, he went under the – I mean, I think he, you know, to coin a phrase, he lost his head. You know what I mean? And the dashboard was there. That obviously, he had gone under. I found it compellingly chilling, you know.
It is, but – it's a fantastic museum.
But you wouldn't know that was his door if you were standing, you know, it's just up on a shelf. But, you know, right at the end, they showed me that and it was.
They've got our film Shelby American playing on the,
rerun
going in there all the time. They're actually, I think they're one of like our top sellers of the DVDs. Everybody that comes in, they see the movie, they sell the DVD. So thank you to those guys. We love that about them. Let's talk a little bit about the Torque Show. Yeah, Adam, go ahead.
I was there, I don't know, five months ago probably, and I brought my son with me, and we're just standing in a sea of Daytonas and GT40s and, you know, Cobras with tons of race history, and I said to my son, just walk around and you pick out the car you think is the most valuable here. And he looked around for a few minutes, and he walked over to a bone stock AC Bristol, or just AC car, like a street car, meaning the one from England with the four banger in it before Shelby, you know, shoehorned the 260 and then 289 and then 427 into it. But out of all the cars that were there, he walked to the most least valuable vehicle in that entire place and pointed at that car. So just so you know, it's not necessarily in the veins of all the Corollas.
You must have been proud.
He left Sonny there. He's still there. Yeah. He just left him there.
I'm told to wait in the car, and the rental car was more valuable than the one he pointed at.
That's wild.
Now, it's
but speaking of race cars, I want to know about Tommy's RX 7 and what the status is. And
yeah, we thought you were going to show up in Monterey with it.
Yeah, to be honest, I need to check on it because it got rerouted on its way home from Monterey in 19. It was supposed to go back to Michigan to Dan Binks's place. And John Doonan, who was with Mazda at the time, says, hey, could we get that to headquarters? We want to scan it. Someone wants to do a model. I said, yeah, for sure. And he says, I'll make sure it gets back to Michigan. Then they took it to 7 stock at California Speedway. Mm-hmm. and it's at the headquarters. But now John Doonan is the president of IMSA, and it dawned on me the other day. I said, I wonder where that car is. And
he's probably wondering the same thing.
And I'm going to go ask for it, and they're going to be like, oh, that's our car.
Yeah.
So to be honest, it's at, I believe it's in Irvine at Mazda headquarters, and but I haven't seen it for a little while. Now, when you're out of space, you don't exactly, you know,
you're not in a rush,
I'm not in a rush to get it back, but I don't want to lose track of it.
Yeah. Adam left his Ferrari once at Leno's garage for like a year. Was it a year? Maybe.
I could have been. Well, it ran out of gas.
It ran out of gas.
And also, it stood out because it was the only one there. It was the only Ferrari
It was the only Ferrari there. And every time they did the Tonight Show, Leno would bring it up on the air, like not as a joke. He's like, oh, Adam, good to see you. They do the whole interview. He's like, by the way, come by and pick up your car. Pick up your Ferrari on the air in front of millions of people. And Adam would be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But what was it that you were saying about leaving the car there? It's the best place, right? It's like leaving your kid at Disney World.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll just tell Bernard to put a fresh coat of carnauba on it, and I'll pick it up.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, when he finishes messing with that bus.
The bus.
It's still the bus. Every time you walk in on a Saturday, that flipping bus is there. It's, I mean, it is massive.
I know, but he needed to kind of get his head off of the side hack motorcycles for a minute because he built that one, and then it caught on fire like right after testing and kind of broke his heart a little bit.
I think his accident as well. It's been a little rough.
So he switched to a bus, which is probably, yeah. I don't know if it's safer, but because I think he's the driver, not the monkey.
He's the driver.
And then there's the monkey, the guy that sits on the side hack and has to shift his weight around and just hold on for dear life. You know, the guys in the Ryan in the booth has no idea what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't do that in a million years.
No idea. Not a million years. All of your trust is in the guy driving.
Well, I mean, I actually, funny enough, we leaning the wrong way could be the subject of a book of my life, actually. but my dad and I were talking the other day, Adam. We had a really funny moment. We had a windy road up to our my grandma's house in the middle of our farm where Dad, you know, started racing and everything at Goodwood. And the other day we were reminiscing, and my poor 21-year-old brother is like, I think my brother and my dad are freaking mad, you know, because we're talking about all the wrecks we'd had and all this. And he's so smart and intelligent. He's really not a bell. You know, he graduated from Purdue, and he just got a job at the Stock Exchange.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, New York Stock Exchange. Yeah, first job through, you know, him. Anyway, so we were reminiscing. I was riding my motocross bike around the farm. We were down, and David Purley, if you remember David Purley, Lec Formula One driver, amazing guy. Anyway, real character. He had a BMW like 1100 road bike, and he said to us, "Oh, you should, you know, take the bike up the road." And we, "Oh, that's nice." We're stealing all our motocross gear, so we jumped on it. I'm on the back. I'd never actually been on the back of a big bike. And I knew the road up to the farm. You lean right, you lean left, you lean right. There was a rock in the road. Dad leant left. I knew it was going right. I didn't know you should follow the rider. So I leant right, of course, which meant we went straight, right?
Yeah.
And then Dad did what anyone should do as they cross a stubble field on an, you know, 1100 road bike. You had to just give it gas to try and clear the ditch that we were about to hit. And when we hit this freaking ditch, apparently, according to an eyewitness, Dad, of course, nosedived straight in. I just did the most perfect, like, 360 through the air, ended up on my ass in the mud. Thank God I was wearing all my gear. And anyway, the moral of the story is,
how old
were
you?
The right way. I was 14, and okay. I just flew. I flew.
So you were light. You were fine.
I was, but it was actually very graceful. But I guess it is the metaphor is you know, the moral is lean the right way.
Yeah,
know?
Right. Lean with the driver.
And that's what happens to Bernard with his, you know, when he had a big accident.
Yeah,
he went one way. The guy went the other, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Being the navigator in a rally car is tough, but being the navigator in a rally car is tough. Being the monkey on a sidecar on a race, I mean, come on.
Plus, they have to call you the monkey. Well, Adam, you're saying.
Especially with Bernard's ponytail flopping in your face every time you lean over to his side of the bike.
A little bit of sweat rolling down it. That would make me lean the other way, too.
Right? Yuck. There's no way you could follow him with that thing tickling your beak the whole time.
I hope it is. The last thing you'd think is, I hope that is his hair, his ponytail.
Yeah, who knows what? Okay, so I know I've said this 9 times already. Let's talk about the Torque Show. The Torque Show is The nice little streaming live talk show that you put together, it seems like years ago now, and it was supposed to be just sort of live streaming at some IMSA races and the great commentating that you guys do together. And now it just seems like it's blown up into all sorts of events and interviews and like Pebble Beach. Yeah. And you guys are going to Audrain next week. Tell me a little bit about how this got started.
Well, he's the rider and I'm the monkey. No.
Really? Because right before he got here, you called him the monkey.
Yeah, I did. Big freaking monkey. He walks like one.
When you're as smart as the two of us, you believe that you're not the monkey.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know what it was? It was funny when Tommy was in the booth doing the IMSA races and mm-hmm. Le Mans and stuff, and I would always be in the pit lane, which is what I like doing. It was especially when they went what they call remote. So he was in a studio, you know, having
in Charlotte,
having Subway takeout sandwiches.
Yeah, air conditioning. And
he's at Elkhart Lake. And he's at Elkhart Lake,
Lime Rock, doing all this. So, I mean, believe me, the pit lane was a place to be. But everyone used to say, you know, God, you and Tommy should have a show. Because, you know, we were the only two irreverent people. And as you know, Adam, so much of that sports commentary, if you want, is so dry. And people are driven down, you know, by the producers in, you know, awfully fitting suits and gold buttons, like thinking that you have to do it a certain way. So we knew we had a break, and there was a funny moment when I was already under contract with Michelin for some other stuff, and I knew that in 2019 they became the sole tire provider to the whole IMSA series, IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, and the TV broadcast was going to NBC, so from Fox. And it was funny. It's a bit like being in a race team because, you know, you think you're going to go with the broadcast crew and everyone's going, well, then, you know, they'll tell you, they'll give you a nod or a squeeze on the shoulder. And there was no squeezing of shoulders or no nods. And I kept on saying,
where's Jossa? Hey, he's still in the pit. Just leave him there.
Yeah, just leave him there. So we worked out probably that we weren't going to get hired, which you called fired. But we weren't hired to be fired, but we weren't hired, that's sure.
I gotcha.
Well, when you've been doing it for 10 years and you don't go over, that being fired.
It's fine. It's okay. So we came up with the idea of the show, and you know, we hit the ground running in 2019 so well, and we had this Airstream, and it's the studio inside, and it really captured the fan base there. And it was really to connect the dots between being on site, you know, with all those fans, engaging with them, and then really doing what sports cars has always struggled to, that is take the message from the racetrack to the road, you know, and the normal fans. And I think we did a great job, and we ended the year doing the Audrain Motor Week, and that was huge for us that in their inaugural year. And then 2020 happened. So like all of us, you know, everyone got stumped by that. But we'd only just got going.
Right.
So, you know, this year has been a hybrid year. We've only been to a few races. We've done every race as a live stream, multiple shows a weekend.
But right, just remotely now.
Remotely. And we did Daytona, Sebring, both Watkins Glen races, and Petit Le Mans we'll do. But as Tommy said yesterday, we had a meeting because we're pitching Michelin on Monday for next year. We've never had 2020 yet. So, you know, all the momentum when you're looking at what we're doing is about 20, you know, trying to recapture the momentum. And, you know, we found a really nice place. I think we work really well together. The drivers like it because we're kind of irreverent and we do our thing, yet with a mind to the sponsor. I mean, when you've got a big brand like Michelin, you can't go too off the reservation.
Well, the TV windows are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And
right.
I mean, the story I always tell to illustrate, I mean, it was way before this, but my mom reads Auto Week cover to cover. She's followed my career. She consumes a lot of it. When she came through Vegas once, we had dinner with Jimmy Vassar, and she'd known of Jimmy Vassar, followed his career. After one night, she goes, he is so funny. He's so dry. He's got such a twinkle in his eye. None of that comes through. And so the whole point of what we're doing is, you know, the pre-race show and the post-race show used to be 30 minutes. Now they're 2.5 minutes. And so we're like, the stuff they need to be doing more of, they're doing actually less of. And it's no different than what you guys do. You know, the cars by themselves are beautiful, but once you've seen them, you've seen them. And what animates them is the people that worked on them and you know, the rivalry, you know, Ford versus Ferrari and all the stories and the drama and the history. And so that's what we focus on. We don't really, you know, there's plenty of places to get news and all this, but you know, you go to the Amelia Island, you have the panels, and you hear the stories from his dad and David Hobbs and these, and there's the ones you know really well, and you've heard their stories before, and you want to hear them again, but there's an equal number or more of people that are just as interesting that no one's ever heard of, and so we're you know, there's endless material to dive into that, and we're now branching into the Pebble Beach and the more of the collector car world as well.
So the Torque Show is a live stream with commentary of the event, but then you bring in interviews and stuff as well. So it's not just – it's not the race coverage per
no,
se.
No, not at all. Nope. It's everything this side of the pit wall, you know, not the other side, because that's handled really well by, you know, by the guys who do the main broadcast. And, you know, our thing is, as Tommy said, it's to tell the stories of people. I mean, one of the examples I use is, you know, my daughter and I, we were watching the Olympics the other day, and, you know, you fall in love because of the story with some, you know, 14-year-old snowboarder you'd never heard of, but now you know everything about her, and you're like, okay, I'm rooting for you.
I'm invested. Yeah.
And invested, and that doesn't happen in racing unless, you know, that's the, I mean, in a minute we should talk about the, you know, Drive to Survive or whatever. I mean, the Formula One thing has revolutionized Formula One, especially here in the States, its popularity, and in our own way, we're trying to do that, and you know, but I do want to say Pebble Beach was a jewel in the crown. I mean, everybody else wanted Pebble Beach. From Motor Trend had it, and I mean, all the big networks wanted to get Pebble Beach because it is, you know, the jewel in the crown. And Sandra Button, you know, we have a relationship going back, and she gave us a chance, and we said, you know what, this is the year to do it different. There's never been a better time to change it because no one's been around for 2 years. So we did our chat show format, and people come on and they have a really good time. And you know, you notice that you get people to look into their eyes. You can get them out of their comfort zone, almost into their comfort zone, and we get some great stories. So it was big.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And heading into Monterey, when you told me that you guys had you had the exclusivity on it, we were very, very excited to hear that as well. So always a great team you guys do.
Thank you.
On the Torque Show. We were even watching some earlier today. And it's fantastic. And like you said, it's sort of this behind the curtain look of these events, and especially the racing events that you don't normally get to see on TV. And if you do, you get a 90-second look at it, right? You just got just a jump right before a commercial break. You get this little profile of who this guy is. But, and you know, I get it.
That's what TV is now. But yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, can you imagine? I'm in the pits. He's in the booth. I'm at Le Mans, and Dr. Ulrich from Audi, and it's his retirement year, and I've got the chance to chat to him, and I've hunted him down. He's in the pits, and he's a tough man to get hold of. It's, I don't know, 3 a.m, so it's, you know, 5 p.m. here in LA, you know, 6 o'clock West Coast time. And they say, you got 45 seconds. All right, Dr. Ulrich, it's been an amazing career. You changed the world of sports car racing. You know what I mean? You try and get it all in. And then they go, okay, get out. We got to, you know, drop the next question, and I'll lay out and jump and throw it back to the booth, and they'll go, well, now we're following the cars going through the Porsche curves, and you go, what on earth was that for? You know, they got right. This mindset of just these short, punchy, you know, 45-second interviews, and actually it left us wanting more, so that was really, you know, it's what we do.
Well, and you guys do it better than anybody out there.
Thank you.
So we appreciate that. Adam, are you still on the phone?
I am, and I was just thinking, yeah, you guys are great. You bring levity, you know, sense of humor. You know, you have the experience, you have the credentials, you have the background, and then you both don't take yourself too seriously and have a great sense of humor. So it's just a great combination.
Well, thank you very much.
I don't know quite how to respond to that, Adam. I mean, I've told this story before. You've insulted me better than almost anyone ever when we used to do test drive together. And now that was like heartfelt praise. I'm not quite sure how to respond.
Well,
that was a great episode.
As we said, people can be a little stuffy or a little overly serious or, you know, a little intense. And you guys aren't, but you also have the expertise, and you've been there and done that. That's a rare combination in motor racing, but it's rare in sports. It's why people like Charles Barkley.
Well, and thank you. And racing, that's the other thing. I mean, I'm not sure there's a – it used to be they'd lock the women and children up when the races came to town. And so – and then everyone just pretended this doesn't exist. And so, you know, these are people that – it's not as dangerous as it used to be. But back in the day, in his dad's era, you know, half of them, four or five of them died every single year. And so, you know, to get the unvarnished version – now, you know, with A.J. Foyt, they're 80. They can say anything and get away with it. But, you know, there's some – I mean, really, it's a special type of person that does this. And so, you know, to try to bring some of that out and not get canceled is fun.
You're right. I think when we did the 24-hour war, there was something about Enzo Ferrari just talking about how the drivers are expendable. Just get somebody in the car who's fast. And if they don't live through it, just get another driver. And it was like, what? It was just about winning.
We were at Bruce Meyer's garage last night, and obviously you have a 935 as well. Ringer Vendezanda, who drives for Ganassi, was with us. And I opened the door and I said, watch this. And I pulled on the aluminum door bar that's supposed to keep a car from coming, and it flexes. And there was a story, whether it's true or not, supposedly Frau Bär, who used to run all the Porsche drivers. She was the woman behind the fax machine at Porsche. And a bunch of the drivers were there. And I think it was one of the Whittingtons said to her, when are you guys going to go to steal roll cages? And supposedly she said, we have plenty of drivers.
Yeah, right? We have Adam's 935. We took out the aluminum roll cage and put in a proper steel roll cage because he wanted to drive it. But the aluminum one over there, like, you pick it up with two fingers. And they run oil through it as an oil cooler. Yeah. I was like, so even if it did puncture, at least you're going to catch on fire and burn yourself immediately because you're going to be covered in oil. But it's kind of a crazy time back then. But you're right. Oh, because we just saw, I think it was up at auction, one of the birdcage Maseratis.
Yep.
Yeah. And, I've raced one of those.
And just a gorgeous car, right? Yeah. Gorgeous and really cool piece.
I know, but it's
well, I actually
hey, Adam's in the studio. Hey. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know.
All right, let's do a hypothetical stoplight game. Here we go.
Well, I'm in such a hurry tonight, but I'm gonna have to stop at this light. On the left, I got a van with big wheels. On the right, I got a pickup and teal. Van to the left of me, teal truck to the right. Here I am, stuck at a light behind you.
All right, we all know how bad Matt D'Andrea is at playing the hypothetical stoplight game, so let's give intern Ryan a shot. Ryan, you're trying to get some JB Weld. You're heading over to the AutoZone, pick up that JB Weld crystal, that JB Weld clear weld, the crystal clear drying adhesive. But you could pull it behind one of two lanes. You got the PT Cruiser with the Rolling Dog Memorial, or a Mercedes SUV with a smashed rear window.
Ooh, I got to go Mercedes just based solely off the mystique of the Mercedes. It seems like it'd be faster.
No, I'm sorry. It's incorrect. Yeah, they're gun shy. They've been a victim of almost violent crime. I look at this destruction of an automobile as a violent crime, and those people are traumatized, and they're just sitting there at the stoplight reliving this trauma, and they don't even notice the light change, so that's incorrect.
Nice try, Ryan. Let's do another round. This one's going to be brought to you by JB Weld Quickwood, the wood repair putty stick. Now, you could pull up behind the new Ford Bronco, but it has the donut doors, and they're aftermarket because due to safety issues, they couldn't really release those. So the new Ford Bronco with aftermarket donut doors, or a DeLorean, but it's decked out in the Back to the Future conversion kit.
Ooh, I got to go with the DeLorean, honestly, just to look at it. That's not necessarily the point.
Sorry, no. The DeLorean is a slug. I mean, that car was 0 to 60 in, 8.4 seconds before the guy strapped on all the PVC piping that he sprayed silver in his mom's garage and all the dryer ducting, the lint ducting shit that he duct taped to the side of the thing. So that thing was already a slug, and now you put another 400 or 500 pounds worth of junk on it. Sorry, that thing's not getting anywhere.
All right, Ryan, let's try one more round. This one's brought to you by Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. You can either get behind a U-Haul pickup truck, empty, but in the back, but U-Haul pickup truck, or the Polaris Slingshot, but the guy is wearing a helmet with the GoPro on.
Oh, that's a tough one. I just can't get behind the U-Haul because I've seen my girlfriend drive it, and it's just so scary. So I just can't. I can't do it. I got to go with the GoPro guy. He seems professional.
The Polaris guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Sorry. No, the U-Haul truck. Now, see, here's the whole thing. The Polaris, that guy owns that vehicle. He's taking care of it. No slingshot starts. He doesn't want to bust the drivetrain. I don't know if that thing is belt-driven or chain-driven, or maybe it's got a differential. But either way, you always go with the rental. The rental, that guy's driving the wheels off. That's not his rig. He doesn't care. He's just going to mash down his right foot and haul ass. And plus, the Polaris guy's got the beats cranked up so loud he doesn't even know where he is, and he's high as a kite because everyone you don't get onto one of those unless you've eaten some edibles and cranked up the zuby.
Well, it is belt driven, Adam, and sorry, Ryan, better luck next time. JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. Remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
Here I am, stuck in a life behind you. Stuck in a life behind you. Here I am, stuck in a life behind you.
Yeah, you know, JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. I can't believe there's an and more. That's pretty much everyone. Remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
You slid up from PCH into Glendale with like almost no weight.
Oh, my God. Yeah, sorry. But I got to see you in person.
Well, time did that Odyssey start? Thanks for coming in.
What time did that today's Odyssey start?
I got up. I drove my daughter to school, and then I talked to my guys that were fabricating stuff up, and then I met them, and everything is always it's always a clusterfuck.
But you gotta go do a show tonight.
I got to do three shows tonight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
In San Diego.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I know.
Flying private.
Taking a bus. Yeah. Like a tour bus. I got Mark Garagos is in Greece. I got to do a show with him, and then I got to do a show in the bus, and then I got to do two shows when I get to San Diego.
Okay, but the tour bus doesn't have like fans on it. It's like you guys are doing a show from it, or are you bringing
people? Yeah, it's like one of those luxury buses.
Executive transport. Yeah.
Is Mike August driving it?
I think we got a professional driver. I don't know.
Tommy's available.
Oh, yeah. Can you handle it? Well, we'll get Bernard to drive the bus.
Yeah, just watch out.
Roll down a window, have that ponytail coming out the back, tickling your nose.
All right. Let me tell you about Lightstream. Credit card bills keeping you up at night, double-digit interest rates. Be smart. Pay off the credit card balances with a credit card consultation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 4.98 APR. With auto pay and excellent credit. Rate is fixed, so it'll never go up for the life of the loan. Get a loan from $5,000 all the way up to $100,000. Absolutely no fees. Even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And just for my listeners, you apply now for a special interest rate and you get a discount and save even more. Only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/carcast. That is lightstream.com/carcast. Right, Chris?
Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/carcast for more information.
Air Medicare Network health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost, that is, of an emergency medical flight. Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with substantial copays and deductibles. Plan ahead. In an emergency, AirMedCare's network's highly trained crews provide air medical transport to the nearest and most appropriate trauma center. With an AirMedCare network membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for the flight. A AMCN membership covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. Secure your financial peace of mind. And by the way, CarCast listeners can get up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. So take care of yourself and take care of your family. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/CarCast and use the offer code CarCast. That's AirMedCare.com. Network.
We're done here. We're going to wrap things up. Guys, go to thetorqueshow.com to check them out. They live stream across all of the platforms at The Torque Show, right?
Yep.
You can check them out. And I believe the website has the schedule of events. Is that what you
Yeah, you know, pretty much it's the worst kept website in the world. But, you know, you can find out some stuff if you look hard enough. Basically, our Instagram, the Torque Show Live, is where we do most of our promotion.
The shows air on Facebook, our Facebook Live, and then they also on NBC's Track Pass, the show right before the race on the IMSA weekends airs on NBC Track Pass.
And just a little plug, this is going to be going to television as well at some point. I thought I saw that on your website.
Well, do you know what the funny thing is? You'll relate to this. We can make more money being free, say what on earth we want, when we're nowhere near television. We go near television and we get told, we really want to do it with you. You're so good. You should do it just like this. And we go, actually, we're really happy over here.
Autonomy.
All right, let's wrap things up. Guys, thank you so much.
Well, thank
Until next time, keep the air in the spare in the bag of the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.